You say, well, I don't have children, but all this applies to all of us in our lives. If you have to be around anyone, if you have any influence on anyone, because you're with your kids more for the next few weeks anyway, right? And some of you know how many days that is. Won't be long, right? Not long enough, or too long. You know, we used to didn't go back to school to September the 3rd when I was in school. But we were not out every other week like y'all are. And so I guess that's the difference. Children, growing children God's way. You know, children are unique and trying. And they're difficult to raise them to fear God just because we're born with a sinfulness. Two older guys were in seminary, and they were walking across a seminary campus. One of them asked the other one, he says, do you believe in original sin? And you said, what is that? That means that everyone who's born after Adam and Eve, we're born with a sin nature. Well, that's what original sin means. Not everyone believes that. And they were talking about it, and the other one said, oh, yes, absolutely, I believe that. I have a child. So they kept walking, and the other one asked him, he says, well, do you believe in total depravity? Not everyone believes that. Total depravity means that we are so sin-created that unless God does something, we will not respond to him. Okay, Romans chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that's understanding. None that seeketh after God on their own. If God didn't come after us, we would never do anything to respond. That's what total depravity means. Not everyone believes that. I don't know if you know where you are in your theological system, but not everyone believes that. And the second guy said, yeah. And the other guy said, well, I don't believe that. And he says, well, when you have a second child, you will. That's just the way that works. They show us because you do not have to teach them to be bad, do you? Why is that? Because we are born with the sin nature. We have that. So it's absolutely proof as the way that works. Growing children God's way. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Upright means those that are living for God, Jesus, following those guidelines. Says they will be blessed. Psalms 122. We can hold that promise that God will bless our children if we teach them what his word says. Okay, we'll come to that verse in just a moment, because a lot of times it's really quoted out of context, and we say it all the time, but we really don't do it justice when we say, oh yeah, if you just train him when he's young, he'll always come back to it. That's not true. That proverb is not a 100% absolute. Is there a better chance for them? Yes, if we train them. And it says here, if what? The promise God says the upright will be blessed. God will bless people who follow his guidelines. He will. You know, did you know that? Did you know that you could be lost and did not even believe in God? And if you followed the Ten Commandments, he would automatically bless you because of that? Did you know that? You don't even have to be saved. Why? Because it's the way God set up the natural law. He says, if you did do this, this will happen. And that's just the way that works. He says what? The upright will be blessed. Our main desire should be for our kids. And I'm talking from a Christian perspective. A worldly perspective? No, they don't think this way. But as Christians, our main emphasis should be not that our children just go to school and get an education just so they can be wealthy or just so they can be famous. That should not be it. That's distorted if it is. It should be that we would teach them so that they would count for something in the whole scheme of what God wants to do on this earth while they're alive. That should be it. Unfortunately, that's not it. Even by a lot of Christians, they'll say, oh, no, the most important thing, the scripture says that's not true. That if we teach them in the uprightness that they learn this, that God will bless them. Now, the Proverbs of Solomon, this is Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 9, the son of David, king of Israel. He starts off, remember, Solomon is the wisest man apart from Jesus who's ever walked on the face of the earth, who ever will walk on the face of the earth. Okay, he's wise. So he's jotting down these things. He says to know wisdom and instruction, to receive the wisdom and instruction, to give simple the young man knowledge and discretion. He says a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. See, that's just it. It's not enough just to know something. You have to know how to use what you know. Because there's a lot of times people know something, but they don't have enough wisdom to figure out how that should be appropriated to where it does anyone any good. So it's not enough just to know something. The interpretation of the wise and how to figure that out. Now, verse 7 is the key. The fear of the Lord. And that's not be afraid of him. It's you can translate how awesome God is. You know, how great he is. What all he's done. What he's doing. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of true, genuine knowledge. That's where it all starts. So if you're going to teach your kids anything, you have to start there. That's what God says. In wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace to your head and chains about your neck. And in the context, it's not a chain with a ball on it. Okay? It's a blessing. It's not a curse. It's a blessing chain. It's what he's talking about. Now, Hans Kuhn wrote this some time back. Look what he says. And boy, is it true for us today. You know, I'm 60 years old. looking back at my childhood and how I was raised and how I was taught and where we are now, it is not the same world. And parents and grandparents do not act the same. And they do not value the same thing. It's, you know, my grandmother kept us. My mother and father both worked. Daddy worked a public job and farmed a little bit on the side. My mom was working. So my grandmother, who is my dad's mother, lived with us till I was 14. Her husband, my grandfather, never saw him. He died in the arms of my dad when he was 42 on the porch of the house where I was raised. He was an alcoholic and just a mean guy, and he died early. So I never met him. So my grandmother really raised us because we didn't have preschool and kindergarten and all these things. You went to first grade, and that's all you had. Who remembers that? So you said, well, you deprived. I don't think so. Right? Because I learned a lot of stuff by playing out there in the yard, what to step in and what not to step in. And you know how that helps me? When some of these people start talking about all this stuff, I said, that smells like the chicken yard. So I'm not going to pay attention to that. You said, that's crazy. No, that's just that simple. I mean, that's how that works. So she raised us until I went to first grade. So that's kind of how that worked for us. For our grandparents. Now, no one in my family, my dad wasn't a believer till he was over 60. My mother was in her 50s. So I wasn't raised. I don't remember any of my kin people ever being in church. I never went to church with any of them. So when I'm talking about this, I see it from the other side as well, okay? For our grandparents, religion, mainly Christianity in the U.S. then, was still a matter of personal conviction. It wasn't just a thing you get into where everybody else because everybody else is doing it. Personal conviction. For our parents, it remained at least a matter of tradition and good manners. Boy, is that going out the window? What are manners? For their emancipated sons and daughters, however, it is becoming increasingly a matter of the past of tradition and religion and manners, no longer binding. And you look at our generations now, and boy, you say, boy, that's true. It passed away. And obsolete. We don't need to be nice. We don't need to be fair. We don't need to be kind. We can just be rude. We can do whatever we want to. Everything's a rainbow now. You just get to choose what you want to do, right? That's what that means, right? Boy, did they ruin that one. The rainbow. It used to be a site of grace. Boy, that's messed up. Moreover, there are parents today who observe with perplexity that morality has vanished together with religion, which Nietzsche prescribed. Morality? I mean, why do you do the right thing? Do you do the right thing? If so, why? For, as it is becoming increasingly clear, it is not so easy to justify ethics purely rationally. Well, the reason you don't steal is because that's not yours. Oh, well, that's not good enough anymore. You know, the reason you don't cheat is because, you know, that's cheating. Oh, that's not good enough anymore, you know. By reason alone, as Freud and others actually wanted to do, we cannot explain why freedom under any circumstances is supposed to be better than oppression. You know, with the rationale today and the way you thought, the way it used to be and the way it is now is not the same. You can't even compare the two. How justice is better than violence. How nonviolence is better than violence. Love better than hate. Peace better than war. I forgot where it was, one of these places that I don't think God's in anymore, where these policemen were sitting in this coffee shop drinking coffee, and some people went over there to him and says, you know, you policemen are making me uncomfortable. Will y'all leave? What? They should have locked them up, you know. That kind of nonsense. Violence? Well, what is violence anymore? You know, that has nothing to do. You see what's happened? And the reason this is that way is because the parents, starting with my generation, stop doing what God said must be done if there's going to be a blessing. So whose fault is it? It's ours. And guess what happens going to the next generation and the next generation if we don't start fixing it? You think it's bad now? How far has it gone back in the last two generations? Whoa, you can't even recognize it. You know, they're so far removed it take field glasses to find out where we were. One more brutally. Why, if it is to our advantage or contributes to our personal happiness, why can't I lie if it'll help me? Why can't I steal if it'll help me? If it makes me happy, why come I can't do that? Well, it's just, there's no absolute noun that tells us why we can or can't do that. See where we've gone? That's why he told them in Deuteronomy, we'll see the verse in just a moment, you need to teach them this because they're not going to inherit it from the secular lost world that they're going to live up in. That's exactly what he taught them. Or murder, even why we should simply, why should you be fair? You know, we were talking about it yesterday. I don't know. Maybe I look intimidating. They don't ever do that to me. But Debbie and Meredith were in a checkout line, and someone came up and said, can I go ahead of you? They've never done that to me. Have they ever done that to you? Meredith says it's because of the way you look. If they said that to me, I would really look. I'd say, have you lost your mind? Why would you want to get ahead of me? Why do you think you should get ahead of me? You don't have any more right to go than I have to go, right? Fair. Why should we just be fair? No one wants to be fair anymore. Isn't that right? That's right. Why is that? Because no one's taught them. The world is not going to teach them. The school system's not. The university's not. I mean, that's just the way it works. Okay, we're going to get to it in just a moment. This is all precursor. The children of the righteous will enjoy blessings. Wow. The ancient Israelites, and this is going back to Deuteronomy, where Moses had given them the law again. Remember, they in captivity, and now they're free, and the generations, they didn't know any of this stuff, and so he said, I got to give it to you again, because they need to know this. The ancient Israelites were to teach the generation to fear the God of the covenant, the contract, the guidelines that he gave them, just like the scripture that we have. Moses teaches the people so that you, your children, and whose children? Generations and generations. You know, how many generations since, let's see, my mom and dad and me, our kids, that's three generations. I must tell you, some of that third generation and my extended family are in the pits. Why? Because their parents didn't teach them any of this stuff. So it's with them, it's like, well, who in the world would ever think that that's wrong? So don't tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about because I know firsthand. That's the way they operate. Cause their mom and dad. You say, well, that doesn't mean anything just because they operate. No, I know for sure they did not instill them in that till they understood it. There's one thing to tell you something, but to tell you enough that you grasp it and understand it. That's a whole other world. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear. So that three generations from now, someone might say, you know, that's still wrong. I know everybody else says that's right, but that's still wrong. You know, like the Reader's Digest a few years ago had this picture of this old-timer. I mean, you know, he was really old, and he was sitting at a typewriter just pecking like this, an old typewriter. You know, the ones that were manual that you had to pull back? Did you know everything wasn't a word processor one time, kids? You had to put the paper in and roll it. You had to set the margins manually, and you had to hit keys and return it with your hand. You're saying, what? Who never seen a real typewriter? It's okay. Some of you never. Well, they had him in there, and they were saying, why is this old dude here anyway? And they said, we have to keep him. He's the only one who can spell. What are we doing to remind our kids that everything that they see at school is not right? And everything they see on their godless phone isn't right. And everything that their godless friends try to tell them they need is not right. If you do not teach them, guess where they're going to get it from? They're not. And that's exactly what he's saying. So that generation, generation, generation will pass it on. At least they'll have it. Some of them will. And if they adhere to it, then they will be blessed. If they do not, they are not. It's not automatic. That you might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son. That's the quote. Deuteronomy chapter 6. He's telling them again. Why? Generations in bondage. He said, I need to teach you again because you haven't known this. You need to remember this. In general, it says what? The children, the upright, they will be privileged. The word means mighty. They would be mightily used by God, the king, if they serve. If they follow those guidelines. And as I said a moment ago, you can teach your child everything right and they'll still grow up and be a total pagan. I understand that. There's no absolute guarantee. I know that. Even though the verse we'll read in just a moment. And it says that in the context. As long as they maintain, as long as they do what they know, it's not enough just to know it. Now, quickly. God gives instructions on how to grow children. Did you know that? You know, I've grown a few things in my lifetime. Some of you in here farmers were garden farmers. Bucky's a real farmer. I don't know if anyone else is on a large scale, but you learn a lot from farming. You learn some things. Wait a minute, that ain't supposed to be there. You learn some things what to do and what not to do. So sometimes you want to learn from someone else who's already made a mistake so you don't have to make that same mistake, right? Make another one. Don't make the same one someone else has already made, right? Right. Be that smart. They need an example, instruction. The fear of the Lord, where do they get that from? They have to understand, when we say the fear of the Lord, God made this whole thing. This is what we are. This is what he did to bring us back to him. And this is how the whole thing works. They're not going to get that anywhere else. So that fear, that respect of who God is, has to start with you, the parent, or the chances of them getting it are not. You know, there are cases in God's grace, and I'm one of those. I wasn't raised like that. It was just by God's grace when he sent someone to share with my brother and I that we responded. His grace alone. But I wasn't raised in it. No. If they don't learn to respect God, they're only going to have a small portion of genuine knowledge. Why? Because everything they do with God is that eternal stuff. They might learn all this other stuff that they might have to deal with on this earth, but when this earth is done, guess what? That's not going to matter. The genuine, real stuff is important. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed for him. Wow. It's our responsibility. Our kids are going to learn more from what they see than from anything we say. Ain't that right? That's exactly the way that works. Monkey see, monkey do. Fool see, fool do. That's right. That's the way that works. You know, occasionally, you know, I know almost everything, but not quite. Ain't that right, guys? We know almost everything. Ain't that right, ladies? But occasionally, there's something I need to do that I've never done before. So one good thing about the internet, and there ain't many, I can just go ahead and tell you, I can count them on one hand. Is I don't really just like to read instructions because this is a little bit abstract for me. I'd rather go to a video where someone's doing it so I can see it. And then I say, oh, that makes sense. So when you tell your children to tell the truth, but yet you lie in front of them, what do you think they're going to do next time? They're going to lie. Why? Because they saw you do it. You know, that's what the example is. So what do they need? If we're going to teach them anything, we're going to have to live it in front of them. And when you make a mistake, you have to say, boy, I blew that one. Don't do that. That's wrong. I made a mistake. God doesn't bless that. That's wrong. Whatever you try to justify, you say, that's not right. Don't do that. I'm sorry. I should have not have done that. That's wrong. Example. They're going to be watching you and to see how you handle your mess ups. Because guess what? You're going to mess up, aren't you? Because you're not perfect. And they know you're not perfect. So you might as well admit it and say, you know, I messed up. That's wrong. That's not right. I didn't do that right. That's wrong. That's it. That's what an example is. D.L. Moody's son, Willie. You know, D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham in the 1800s. Preached in a couple continents, and God used him mightily. You know, his English was horrible. He didn't know how to hardly spell his name good, but God used him. You know, they said he was the only one that could say Jerusalem in three syllables, I think, or four syllables. But his son, Willie, gave a testimony to him. He said, sometimes Dad would come in, and, you know, he's been all over the place, and he's working all the time, and he comes in, and he wakes up at night and says, are you asleep? He said, you know, I just wanted to tell you, I couldn't go to bed without asking you, you know, forgive me. I got angry today, and that was wrong, and I want you to forgive me. Wow. Is that an example? Right. That's exactly, and that's what you're doing. Well, anytime you do something wrong in front of them, there's no use in even trying to tell them to do the right thing until you correct that one and say, you know, that was wrong. I messed that up. Why? Because if they see you do it, they're more likely to do it, whether you tell them it's right or wrong or not. Our children need unconditional love. Now, as much as we can, we're human, so our love is conditional. Now, come on, admit it. We love people more when they do what we think they should do. Ain't that right? I mean, so that's, you know, I know God loves us unconditionally slash, okay, but it's also conditional. Because God said, I love you so much, but the condition for you to have eternal life is that you trust Jesus. Now, I love you unconditionally first because I let Jesus die. That's unconditional. But it's always conditional after then, because if you don't trust Jesus, then you don't fit. I mean, you're not in there. So it's always conditional. It was always conditional. He said, if you do this, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll do this. So whenever we talk something and we're never living it out with our life, somewhere along the line, something's not true. So he said, be careful. They need our unconditional love. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. He's talking about what his dad did. Unconditional love does not mean that you give them everything they want. Wow. You want to spoil a little brat? Or a spoiled big brat? I know some spoiled 40-year-old brats. Because of that. Their mom and dad ruined them. I'd hate to see their spouse. That's why they don't last long. You know, that's why they don't stay married long. A lot of that nonsense. Our children need to be assured that when they do something wrong, that they can still come back to us and we will love them, even though we make sure they understand, you know, we are not satisfied with your behavior and it's not right and we're not going to tolerate it, but we love you. They need to know that. And if they sense that they can never approach you, then we're in trouble as far as our influence goes. It's always shown with sympathy, you know. I know a lot of this nonsense that they get upset over is just, I'm looking and say, what? Let me tell you what something to be mad or upset over. That nonsense is not worthy to be, I'm guilty of that a few times. When Meredith was, I got upset, I said, are you kidding me? You crying over that? That's not good, okay? If she's brokenhearted, I need to sympathize with that. And I'm learning. Some of it's, and they'll learn. But when they cry, you cry. When they're joyful, you have joy with them. Isn't that what it says? And depending on your personality, you're going to have to work on that. I know I have to work on that. I'm just too practical. That's nonsense. Why would I get upset over that? You know, when they're upset over that. So I need to think through that anyway. Our children need encouragement. Wow, how about that one? My son, let not them depart from thy eyes, keep sound wisdom. He's encouraging him to listen, pay attention to this. This has a promise that goes with it, and if you pay attention to it, you will automatically have a blessing from God. Pay attention to it. He's encouraging him. You know, where do you get your guidelines from? Not from Twitter, not from Facebook. He says from God's word. He said, that's what he's telling me. Your instruction, did you think there was not a pagan influence in the time that Solomon was writing this? You think it's only come with the internet? Oh, heavens no. Just do a little research. Solomon, the wisest man, purely human, is encouraging his son. How can we encourage our children? By reminding them, God said, if you do this, he's going to bless it. I don't know how he's going to bless it, in what form, but he said he's going to bless it. And we encourage them to do the right thing. How do you do that? Well, it depends on your child's personality. You have to figure that one out. It takes a little time to do that, but you can figure that out. What's the best way to encourage them to do the right thing? Scripture, we can read and see the sense in which he's talking to his son, and he's encouraging, this is what you need to do. You need to pay attention to this. This is what's important. This will get you to there. This, do those things. Encourage them. Now, they need instruction. Lord. Do we all, though, don't we? Hello? Yeah. We all need instruction. Because there are some things, especially if you start at zero, that you don't know. Isn't that right? You know, you're not born knowing everything. Matter of fact, you know a whole lot less than you think you know now. Isn't that right? That's why we get in trouble. Oh, I know this, but we don't know that. And then we get in an argument or fuss or something or get in trouble because we don't know what we thought we knew. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, here's that proverb. But in the context, it does not have a 100% guarantee. Oh, yeah, if you just take him to Bible school, he'll turn out all right. That's not what that means. No. But if he has a chance, you're going to have to train him because the public school system isn't and the university isn't and most of your relatives aren't, are they? Matter of fact, you do good to keep them away from most of them if some of yours are like some of ours. You know, why don't you ever let, and there's in your own kin people, why don't you ever let them come spend a night? We don't want her in that situation. Didn't tell them that. But that's one of those good things about living 4 hours away, where you don't have to deal with that kind of stuff. Oh, you say, that's protecting. That's understanding what kind of nonsense influence has, all right? Train them up. You have to train to do anything else you do, right? What did Paul tell Timothy? Exercise yourself unto godliness. You got to work at it. You wasn't born with that. In the moment you trust Jesus, you don't just have everything you need. You got to work at it. You got to discipline yourself. How do you know what to do? Because you read the Bible. How do you remember? Because you memorize it. You think that God's just going to float it down out of there for you? That's not the way that works. No. Train. Well, you know, that's a wife's responsibility. No, Dad, that's yours. It's the dad's responsibility in the household to make sure the children have a spiritual training. I don't care if your wife is smarter. It's your responsibility to make sure it gets done. I don't care if you don't like that. That's the Bible. That's what it says. Oh, well, the wife takes care of that. No. God's going to hold you responsible first, guys. You say, well, I only had the fifth grade. So, you know, my dad had a fifth grade education. His dad was an alcoholic and just horrible. But you know what? My dad didn't treat me like his dad treated him. You know, I don't have to be like everybody else. And you don't have to be like everybody else. You learn how to do all these other things, don't you? You learn how to fish and you learn how to go car racing. You learn how to learn what the Bible says you need to do. It's your responsibility. Guys, am I getting off on my soap opera here? I believe I am. I'm sorry. Because guess what, mamas? You're next in line. God's going to come to him first, but you're the next one. Because by and large, you have a lot of influence over the children. What kind of nonsense are you teaching them? Where are you spending all your time? What are you watching on the stupid television with them? Hello? You're starting to meddle now, preacher. I'm telling you the truth, okay? This was not planned. This is just kind of, I don't know. I'm in trouble now, right? Give instruction. What did Isaiah say? Line by line, keep it out there plain where it's understandable. Don't make it fuzzy. It's real plain. Don't go there. Don't date those people. Don't do that. Don't do this. You don't have to be abstract. Well, no, period. That's not right. You can't do that. That's what it says. Line by line, precept by precept. The main educational institution is still home. Where are they going to learn this stuff? You know, we did used to have a Bible verse at school. Was that enough to get me through? No. You don't do that now. God can't even be mentioned most of the time, right? But that's not where it comes from. It comes from the home. Our children need restrictions. Hello, here we go. You think you were mad at me. You're about to get really mad at me. Restrictions. What does that mean? You can't do that. Bless her heart. I remember. I can see it right now in my mind's eye. We were sitting at someone's table. I'm not going to mention the name because they might hear it on the internet. Long, long, long time ago in their house. And their grown daughter, we were all sitting around Sunday dinner in a godly family. And this girl was about, 20, but she's kind of come of age. And she didn't need to do what her mom and daddy said. And she was living in the house. And they made a mistake of asking me what I thought. I said, as long as you're in this house, I don't care if you're 40, you do what your mom and daddy says or you get out. That's what the Bible says. And if you don't like that, you know, if you want God's blessings, you do what God says, because even if you're paying the rent, under their house top, they are the authority. And if you can't live that way, still love them, but say, hey, we're going to miss you. You go find your own place. Because as long as you live here, you will do this. And that's not wrong for parents to demand that. But everybody thinks, well, I'm entitled for you to give me a free ride for the rest of my life. Get your own cell phone. Pay your own car insurance. Right? Hello? Where were we? Our children need restrictions. My son, keep your father's commandments, guidelines, and forsake not the law of your mother. Limitations don't bind children. They free them. Why? God made us that way. Someone needs to care enough about us to say, don't play in the road. That's what that means. When we say, you don't need to be messing with those people, that's saying, don't play in the road. You don't need to go there, that's saying, don't play in the road, because we love you. And when you do not do it, you are saying, I don't love you. Oh, well, I love them, and I'm going to just let them do their own thing. Then you're going to kill them. Basically, it's what you're doing. I'm going to go let you play in the Highway 96. Oh, I love you, but I'm going to go let you play in the road because you don't have enough sense to get out of it by yourself. So I'm going to let you do it, and so you get killed. See how that works? Oh, well, it's not that dramatic. Oh, is it? How many illustrations would you like me to give you of real-life people that I know? I'm not talking about stuff I read. I'm talking about people I know. That's what happens. No limitation on a child implies that you've ever, it means that you really don't care, that you've rejected them. What does God say over and over again? I love you, so I will chasten you, put restrictions on you. I want to take care of you because I love you. That's what that means. That is the reason so many people, children, are conquered by someone else. You know, one of the greatest curses right now on our young people is the telephone. I'm going to tell you why. There was a time, just a few years ago, when they got home, even as bad as their home life might be, that there was only a few people in that little space that influenced them, okay? So they were not worried about what went on at school maybe when they got home. But now, because of the cell phone, every minute they're taking a picture and they're sending it to someone and they're trying to get approval by someone now, and it never goes away. So now there's always someone else outside of the main influence in their family that's telling them what they need to do to be accepted. And that's a curse. And why? Because, well, you know, I'm just going to let them do what they want to do. Really? So you're just letting them go play in the road. You have to put a restriction on it. You have to control that. And when we do not as parents, that's basically what we're saying. I don't really love you that much. I'm not going to take the pains it is to take that phone away till you learn how to use it. I must say, I'm starting more and more and more to despise the things. And I got one up here. I got my sermon stuff on it just so I can remind myself sometimes when I forget some things. I'm not looking at it now. I never look at it, but earlier I did. But, you know, you go where now? Anywhere. There's a family of four sitting at the restaurant, and everyone of them's on a cell phone and never talk to one another. What are you telling your children? You don't have to be sociable. You don't need to learn how to talk to us. You just kind of get in your own world. No restrictions. Do you know what the world is doing right there in that cell phone? Of all the stuff that's going on, can it be used for good? Oh, yes, it can. Absolutely. You get stranded out there. We didn't have those. You know, we had to walk. If our car broke down, we had to walk, right? Restrictions. Whenever you know absolutely that that person is not good for your child, it's your responsibility. Well, I'm going to drive them away. Well, you're going to kill them out there in the road anyway. So what difference does it make? If you're not going to do something to help them see, because guess what? Even until they're 40, they don't know. Hello? I don't have much sense at 60. I didn't have much at 30. I surely didn't have any at 16. What I mean by that is judgment. Why? Because I learned a few things from my mom and dad, but a lot of basic judgment just comes with experience. But if you got a mom and dad that loves you, who's been through the experience and tried to say, you know, this is what's going to hurt. You need to learn to think through this thing. It's not just, no, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there because of this, 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 and this. So they start to analyze what is going on and all the ramifications of when you tell them, no, I don't really want you to do that. And then they say, oh, okay. The reason why this is affected by all these things, but you have to take the time to teach them that. So maybe when they get 25, they do have a little bit of understanding. You see how that goes? But we failed. That's why we have the generations that we have doing what we have doing right now. And they said, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, that's all right. Who are you to say that's wrong? Why? Because the truth that used to be the truth, even for a pagan lost people, now is not true for anyone anymore. Because what did he say? Teach them to your children, so they teach it to their children, so they teach it to their children, so someone will know. Isn't that amazing? What does it say? Ezekiel and Jeremiah. The fathers, the elders, ate the grapes of wrath, and the children's teeth were set on edge. What does that mean? There's a lot of things that we do in our family system. You know, if you're raised in an abusive home, it'd be by only the grace of God that you don't grow up to be an abusive person. That's what that means. It means this generation did it, no one corrected it, so that generation is going to keep doing it, and it takes about four generations to get it out, if anyone's paying attention. Most people are not paying attention. So you wonder why we're in the mess we're in? It's our fault. It's our fault. Why? When we fail to put the most important thing, our children, in place of job and houses and cars and whatever Lord knows comes out of the advertisement world. Why? Well, it just costs too much to focus on them, is it? Well, let them go play on the highway then. Then you won't have to worry about it anymore because they'll be dead and gone. Well, that's kind of morbid. That's the truth. It's the same thing, right? Hello? They need a listening ear. When you're not always talking, listen. You know, have you figured out yet when your talking time is for your child? What do you mean? It could be at 6 o'clock in the morning. It could be while they're taking a bath, especially when they're young. You know, it could be they don't talk at all till they get it this time, and boy, here they go. So, well, we got to hurry because we got to get to bed because I got to go. So you don't listen. But that's the only time they'll ever talk. So what are you going to do about that? You got to prepare for that. Find it. You have to pay attention enough to see when their time is, when they're going to talk, and then sacrifice whatever it takes to listen. So you'll know who your child is. That's what the problem is. We don't even know our children anymore. Isn't it right? Why? We don't spend enough time with them to know them. Hello? Hello? Yeah. Come on now. He that answers a matter before he hears it. Don't make a judgment on it until you at least listen to them first. They need a happy environment. Whatever it takes in you, have some kind of sense of humor. Laugh at yourself. God laughs because he made us, didn't he? Don't be so serious all the time. You know, I'll be honest, a lot of times we're under a lot of pressure, and that doesn't work so well. I learned a lot about that in the last several years, where it's just not fair. It's not fair to always be so intense. You know, find something that you can laugh about, because, you know, basically all of it's funny. Why? Because we do it. Can you believe that idiot? Look at what they did. Just laugh at it, because they're going to do that. Idiots do idiotic things. Just don't be the idiot that does it. Our children's protection, we need to live in front of them. Wow. Boy, you said that's going to be tough. You better know it. Be honest. When you goof up, and you're going to, just say, you know, I blew that. I should have never said that. I should have never done that. I should have never lied in front of you. That was wrong. Would you forgive me? And don't do that. And just pray for me that I won't keep doing that. Just be honest. And pray that Jesus will give you the strength to live in front of them. Because guess what? Monkey see, monkey do. That's what they're going to do. If they got a chance. And then now, it's 50-50. How they going to turn out? Growing God's children. Is it expensive? Ooh, boy, it is. Is there a return? Eternally. Return. Because when this crazy lost world sees your child living in a different mindset, someone notices that. So God can use that to maybe save someone else's life for eternal purpose. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We're so caught up in ourselves. We think we're the most important people in the world. Too often we sacrifice our own children on the lust of this world and what they have. Lord, convict us today. Just remind us not to play a game. You've given us the most precious thing in the world that you let us have as children. Lord, help us follow your guidelines and recommit our lives today to not only raise our children, but help raise our grandchildren or just the children in our community to live in front of them and try to teach them and train them what your word says so that generations from now, someone will still know the truth for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.